Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mess with MS. My name is Lisa Dreyer, and I am your host tonight on the Brain Injury Radio Network for Mess with MS, which is on Blog Talk Radio Network and is on Brain Injury Radio Network. I have been on the Brain Injury Radio Network now since 2015 as a guest and as a host doing panel shows and as a host here on the Brain Injury Radio Network doing Mess with MS, and I have also been on other shows on Blog Talk Radio. I've been doing that for longer, actually, than since 2014. I was on my friend's show called Fool and the Gang. When I was a child, I endured learning difficulties, and I had a seizure disorder. This was caused by a cardiac arrest and a lack of oxygen to my brain as a preemie. Until I was adult, I thought I had a learning disability that was actually a brain injury, struggling with awkward health difficulties for all my life, but the problems just got worse and worse. And after college, I had a CT scan done in my late 20s. I laughed and when I was shown that I had an abnormal brain because I just said, I could have told you that. But they told me that it was actually quite serious and that I had multiple sclerosis. So it was actually something I didn't know about myself. And I was put in the hospital for 2 months. And I learned a lot about multiple sclerosis and a lot about myself. And I built myself back up after that. And I've continued to do so since then. So it was actually an empowering experience. It was very difficult. Since then, it's been empowering. And I've been very glad because before that, actually, I was just getting sicker and sicker, and no one could explain to me what was wrong. Without that information, I wouldn't have been getting anywhere. So by being on Brain Injury Radio Network, I've also been empowered. From the first interview I had on this network, I've said that my outlook in life would be find the beautiful around you and stay calm. And I've lived with that. And while it's important to acknowledge our MS or our brain injury, it's also important to remember to relax when we can, to have fun, to try to learn new coping mechanisms and to try to meet and to communicate with important and with the important people who are the new people in our lives. And I've made some of my best friends, and I've met my boyfriend that way. And so MS can be a debilitating neurological disease, but it can also bring us many gifts and wonderful gifts of people into our lives. So yes, the diagnosis changed my life, but it also brought really wonderful things into my life. So it's important to relax, and it's important to have fun. And it's important to learn those coping mechanisms, and it's important to try to meet and communicate with the people that we can meet and communicate with. Like, I just got to meet some of my Facebook friends that I've been communicating with for about 3 years now, and that meeting was really wonderful. It was incredibly fortuitous because they were passing through my new hometown, and I got to give it a shot. I got to meet them, and it was fantastic. And pretty soon, my friend, my new Facebook friend, Bernadette, will be on the show tonight, and she is a lovely lady. We have been talking on the phone, and she is going to talk to us about how MS has changed her life and how she is keeping her life positive and how she is a mother, an animal lover, and a writer, and many other things. She's been a teacher, and I still think that she is a teacher because she teaches all of us how to be a wonderful activity. She's a wonderful positivity role model, and she teaches us how we can positive people despite our disabilities. So she'll be on the show tonight, and we get to listen to her wisdom. And she is another one of those MS superstars. So I hope that you guys will listen to the rest of the show. And I am going to check into the studio right now and see who's in the studio and who I can talk to. It's my favorite part of the night, talking to our guests. I hope everyone is enjoying the summer / spring weather. I know that it can be challenging for people with MS, because it can be quite hot. And the heat is difficult for us with MS. What do you guys do in the heat? Do you stay inside all the time? Do you carry around fans or conditioners? Do you wear loose clothing, or do you wear little clothing? Do you try to swimming as much as possible if you can? What do you do call in and tell me. Give me your tips and tricks. Okay, my friend Crystal is on the line. I believe that Crystal has hydroencephalitis, and I'd like to take calls from everyone in the brain injury community on my show. Because the show is named Mess with MS does not mean that I do not take calls from everyone, because I do. So let me take a call from Crystal right now.
Hello?
Crystal?
Yes?
Crystal, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm hoping that everyone can hear you. So you're on Mess with MS?
Okay, do you want me to go talk about my story first?
Yeah, you can talk about your story if you feel like it.
Okay. I got kind of well, I've done this a lot of times Lisa. I have hydroencephalitis. Yes. It's known as waddle on the brain, and I was diagnosed, I think in 1993, they diagnosed me when I was, I think, a couple of days after I was born, they kind of told me.
So you were diagnosed as a baby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. I was diagnosed as a baby, and I have had, I don't want to know more. I've had 24 surgeries, but since I had my 18th surgery a couple of years ago, they did not know that I had an infection. They sent me home, and
you had an infection on your 18th surgery, and they sent you home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. What did you say?
You had an infection with your 18th surgery, and you were sent home. So you must have gotten really sick.
What did you say?
Well, if you had an infection from your surgery and they sent you home, you must have gotten really sick.
They didn't actually know my wound. My wound by my belly button opened up, and I can say it kind of opened from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was my mom, they sent us home that day, and then, I think on that Monday, we went to my local doctor here in LaPorte, and he took a good look at the spot where it was at, and he immediately sent us back to the hospital, and he said,
yeah,
this is, and that just, it was, and then 2012 or 11, I had something going on, and they told me and my mom that they wanted to immediately put a JP drain into the incision, and they wanted to take the shut out in the ER.
The shut out, yeah,
they wanted to immediately take the shut out, and they sent me up to, I can say the tenth floor. They sent me up there, and the day that they sent us back to the hospital. It was just me and my mom. And she had before we actually went back to the hospital, she actually had to come home and get some stuff for me and my mom because I spent one night birthday in the hospital, and what did you say?
Yeah, I'm sure you did. That you must spend a lot of time in the hospital, huh, Crystal?
Because I had a work view that year, and I can say a work view that year because I was. I was in and out of the hospital because I needed to be 24 hours after they did the, after they put the, not the ICP monitor, but they ended up putting an internal drain in to get my to get the spinal fluid to just come out. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. It sounds like you've had a lot of hard surgeries done, Crystal.
Yeah, you're
a real warrior. You know that?
Yeah. It's been like the year of years because since been born, I have had a lot of surgeries.
You said you had 28 surgeries. So, and your mom and you were born in 1995, right?
No. So. No, 1993.
Oh, okay.
That
so,
was,
and you've had 28 surgeries since then.
Yeah, because it was like up and down, up and down. Ever since I've been born, I had landed to go in and out of that. And get this, that same year, I really don't want to say the hospital was the money, because I don't know. My mom told me if I want to say the hospital was in, they want me, I can go ahead, because we almost sued the hospital because they kind of almost killed me that same year because they didn't know.
The year you were born, yeah. That same thing, Crystal, that same thing happened to me when I was an infant because I had a cardiac arrest. And so the same thing happened to me. My heart stopped and the nurse she kind of ignored me when my heart stopped. So I understand that. Crystal.
It's been really, I can say it's been since that year, I haven't had any issue. I have kind of had headaches, but the nerve surgeon on the doctors don't even know why I'm having headaches.
Yeah.
Well, you're very lucky that
you haven't had any more problems other than
you're
just trying to fix the one problem, right? So it's good that you haven't had any other problems.
You've got a lot of
people who think positive thoughts for you and who are most likely praying for you all the time.
Yeah.
And I know that you love Brain Injury Radio Network, and you always have people here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I know that you love calling into the shows. And I know that I like hearing from you. And I'm your friend on Facebook, too. I'll always be here for you, Crystal. So.
I know. It's been kind of, difficult because we were on, on a couple of different shows. Playing the injury with you has me off this past Tuesday. I got kicked off.
Well, Crystal, let me tell you, I just think that's because, you know, sometimes people have guests and they need to talk to their guests. I don't think that has anything to do with you, sweetheart. I know that it's got nothing to do with you. It's just because sometimes we need to talk to our guests. So that's like when I asked you if I could put you on hold. You know, it's just because like my guest is calling in a little bit. So she's going to call in a little bit, and then I'm going to have to ask you to put you on hold. And sometimes, you know, when we have brain injuries, we don't know how to ask questions very well. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Sometimes people forget how to be, you know, their best selves sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why.
And they, I was, Okay. Now let me get back to what I was saying. That year was, I can say, difficult for my mom and my stepdad. Yes.
It's hard for your mom and your stepdad?
Yeah, because that year my mom, and get this. The same year when I had that infection, and they wanted to put a shunt back in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my mom was not even in the room, and the doctor came in and said, get this, we're going to put the shunt back in. Anyways, even though you have an infection. Is that wrong?
Well,
they wanted to do that?
I don't know, because I don't know. I can't tell you, because I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a lawyer, and technically,
yeah.
I don't know the legalities of that, Crystal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't sound right to me.
No.
You're a minor, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your mother should have been in the room.
Yeah. They immediately find the people, and my mom came back into the room, and I told her what they told me, and my mom was like, what did they say? And the doctor that I think it was still Dr. J, and he was not there. They had I think another neurosurgeon come in for him, because I think he was on vacation. And he was on vacation, and I think Dr. Cody was there, and he immediately wanted to put it back in my head, and my mom was like, that. And this is still, I think, when I was in high school. And this was, and my mom was like, she's so mad that they came in and told me about that.
I'm sure she was.
She
but
was
maybe
just
they
like,
were just talking to you and not preparing to do it. There's whole different levels of what doctors do.
I know, and they will go and put it back in my head, even though I still had an infection, but before I get off track, I was asleep in the bed, in the hospital bed, and I actually was asleep, and my I can say my EVD. My EVD fell out. And they waited 7 hours before they didn't, I can say that time they just immediately put the show back in because it was the infection had almost fully healed. They wanted to wait until the infection was fully healed and the infection was fully healed and they put it back in the next morning. And I had nothing to eat until 4 o'clock that afternoon because they ended up put the show back in and they put it back in and when after they put it back in they went to put me in I went to the recovery room. The recovery, and then I went back to the room. And it just was, I had so many.
It sounds really bad, Crystal. And I'm really glad that you called to share your story with me. But my guest is going to call in, like, right now. She just told me she's going to call in. So maybe you can call back on another episode, okay? But thank you so much for calling in tonight, and I really liked hearing your story.
Thank you
for being my friend, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Bernadette?
Yeah, hi. Is this Lisa?
Yes. Welcome to Mess with MS.
Oh, thank you. How was your day?
My day is good. You're on the air with me right now. Let me pull up our interview questions. Give me 1 second.
Sure.
How was your day?
Pretty good. You know, it's really hot here in Arizona. We've had a brutal week. So I make sure I'm well hydrated before I step outside. And
I just asked everyone in the audience what they did in the hot weather because I'm in Utah right now and it is 109 here today. So when were you diagnosed with MS, Bernadette?
Well, I was diagnosed May 5th, 2001. However, I had symptoms for about 10 years prior to being diagnosed. Because you know, I would be under a lot of stress for a while, so I'd get some of the tingling and numbness, and of course, the fatigue was always there. And I would see a doctor, and by the time I saw the doctor, I felt better, and the symptoms would subside, and they wouldn't find anything. They'd say, well, just rest more. It's probably stress. So this went on for about 10 years until finally I was diagnosed in 2001.
Okay. Did you know anything about MSN?
No. Two of my distant cousins had it. They lived in the eastern states at the time. So, you know, I didn't see them very often, and my mother would talk to their moms occasionally. But I really didn't know anything about it when I was diagnosed.
I had the exact same family situation, except it was someone not related to me. It was by marriage, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Other than your own experience with MS, do you read books, go to MS meetings, or do anything to further your knowledge about MS?
Oh, I'm always reading articles regarding MS and autoimmune illnesses. I go on the internet quite a bit. And I also receive the quarterly magazine put out by the MS Society. It's called Momentum. And in addition, I read Neurology Now.
Both very good. Very good pieces of information. Yeah, I get them too. How has MS changed your life, do you think?
Oh, you know, let's just back up. I also attend a monthly MS support meeting that meets like September through May. We're not in session right now because some people go away and it's just too hot really to run around. And I joined several of the MS forums on Facebook.
That's great.
That's how I'm
due. Thank you.
Are you asking me how has MS changed my life?
Yeah, how has MS changed your life?
Well, it made me realize what's important in life and what I should focus my energy on. It's also made me realize that I must socialize more and be more involved in activities I enjoy.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly why I'm spontaneously here in Utah all of a sudden. Because we found a good flight up here, and I love the desert, and so does my boyfriend. So all of a sudden, we're in Utah. Practically, has it changed your life by how you get around or do things?
Well, I just have to think, you know, really put a lot of thought into, you know, how I'm going to get around. I mean, I still walk. I still drive. So I'm grateful that I still have those abilities. But I just have to think, because of the fatigue, I just have to think about, okay, you know, how much can I do in one day? What is a sensible amount of activities that I should pack into one day? And I also realize that I can only do so much in one day. I will tell you that as I've gotten older, I have more energy. The fatigue is not as debilitating, because as we age, our immunities are not as active. So there's an increase in our energy levels. So you have something to look forward to, Lisa.
Yeah, that is the best answer I've ever gotten in my entire life of doing the show. that is great. Do you use adaptive devices? Or have you ever used adaptive devices?
Well, my diagnosis was red flagged by optic neuritis when I was 40. And I'm going to get to your answer. and for a brief period, I used a cane. this is a stabilizing device. But I just kept walking and building up my leg muscles, and then I no longer needed the cane. So
that's how I was too. So
yeah.
And my Lymtrada is like now I don't need to use anything. I'm not even limping. So I totally understand that. Can you give us any tips, like as far as either of those questions, like the adaptive devices or how, like practicalities, how you get around and do things, like tips as far as MS tips and tricks?
Well, okay. Living in a very hot, living in a place where it's hot half of the year, really warm, I use a cooling vest.
And I
put cold towels around my neck, and I make sure I'm well hydrated before I step outside. And that's even like when I have to take care of my pets. You know, I fed the horses before I called in because I figured, well, if I wait until I was done with the show, it would be dark, and then I run into danger of running into a snake because the snakes are out. Weather, so I just make sure I'm well hydrated, and if I know I'm going to go for a long walk, which I do in the mornings, I put like sunscreen on and have a couple bottles of water with me. So in my situation, because of the heat, just take those preventative measures.
And I know exactly where you live because I used to live about a block away from you. And but I'm like super, super white, and I would step out into that heat and I would fall down, and that's one of the reasons why I moved out to Ohio just for like the summer. I thought it was like a vacation, and then I ended up just staying there forever because I liked the climate so much, and I loved my boyfriend. So,
did you meet your boyfriend out there?
He came out to Arizona to go on a date with me, and then we just kind of ended up like going back and forth and going on these like long dates, I guess. And then I ended up saying, you know, I'm going to spend the summer with Chris in Ohio when you guys go out to Hawaii for the summer. Sounds crazy, but why not? And then I just said, you know what, I'm going to stay in Ohio for a while, and then I just kind of moved there. So,
the temperate weather, it's milder. I mean, it may be humid, but it's not that bad. I mean, Hawaii is beautiful. I've never been, but I've seen pictures and heard stories of a lot of my friends that have been there. It's beautiful, but it's also very humid.
I can handle Hawaii. But, like, it's not like they were there for longer than a month. But, I mean, I couldn't handle the heat in Arizona. But now, you know, the crazy thing is since my Lymtrada, it's super hot out here right now in Utah, and I've been doing much better than I used to do in Arizona because I think it's because of the Lymtrada. So
yeah.
I've just really gotten a lot better than I used to be. So,
Do you take walks?
I used to take really long walks when I was in college. And then I actually stopped doing the walks most likely because of my MS. I'm looking forward to walking again because my foot drop is literally gone since the first year of Lymtrada. The second year, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably going to be even better. I can't wait. So.
Right. Yeah, well, it's good. good. Well, that's good. You have a positive attitude. That's very good.
Yeah. So, other than how MS has taken away from your life, can you acknowledge how MS has brought good things into your life? And if you can, list three things.
Okay. Well, let me see. How has MS brought good things to my life? Well, I've met a lot of wonderful people because of my MS, because mainly I made more time for myself. Rather than working so much, I cut back on my work, and I still work, but it's not as much. And I made time to do, to partake in the things that I enjoy with people that I enjoy being with. And it just makes such a difference, you know. I spend a lot of time with my family because I enjoy being with them. And I put myself first. And I let go of hurtful comments much faster than I used to. But a lot of it, I think, too, is I don't run into offensive comments as much as I used to when I was younger because, you know, at my age, people are much more mature and kind and considerate. And, you know, those are the kind of personalities in people that I want to be associated with are kind, caring, fun-loving people, you know, and generous.
Well, at my age, I think the same way. I agree. And I think that's really important for our disease, too, to be around people that are good for our souls.
Right.
And I know that this used to be the number, but it said that 1 out of 3 people with MS commit suicide. Do you have any experience with depression or anxiety?
Well, everyone experiences periods of anxiety and/or depression. I do occasionally, and when I do, I try to remind myself how fortunate I am, and look for ways to make the situation better. I try not to work myself up, as it doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just taking.
That is a very positive outlook. Yeah, and so if you have, it said that everyone with MS has some grief when they get their diagnosis. It said that diagnoses are like a certain kind of death. So
right.
Have you handled your grief in a positive way?
Well, I went through the grieving process with my diagnosis, and my parents and my husband were very supportive. And, you know, I would talk about it, and they would just listen. They didn't know what to say because they couldn't relate to what I was feeling. But they listened and were there for me.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All we can ask for in our friends and our family is really that they are like that, that they do
mm-hmm.
the best they can. And doctors, it said that doctors are practitioners, and what they do is practice, because they don't really know if what they're doing is going to work or not. And with that being said, have you tried meditation, which, you know, I think is a great tool, yoga, biofeedback, or any non-traditional therapies?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I meditate every day for at least 20 minutes. And it helps me to remain calm, and it helps me to stay better focused.
Yeah. I love meditation.
I began meditating when I attended yoga classes, which I did for a few years. We moved a few years ago, and I joined a local facility. I began having dizzy spells when I started at the new facility. I used to be able to do a lot of yoga without any problems, but because the dizzy spells, I would have to sit down until the dizziness stopped, and sometimes that would take like half of the class. And also I began to feel a little, most of the people in the class were my age or older, and they were stopping and sitting too, but I wasn't enjoying it because I didn't know, it was actually making me more nervous because I didn't know how long the dizzy spells would last, and, you know, I also began to feel self-conscious. I mean, nobody ever said anything. I don't think anybody thought anything of it because as long as I was able to stand up and leave the class at the end of it, you know, they weren't really concerned about how I was feeling if I was able to walk out. But I was a little self-conscious about it.
I've learned that it's because inverted poses might do that. I started getting dizzy when I did inverted poses. And I asked one of my friends who's a yoga teacher about inverted poses because I was like, she has MS too. And I asked her about the inverted poses and I said, look, these are my other problems other than MS. And she was like, oh yeah, inverted poses will do that to you anyways. So she was like, it's a challenge, but there are certain things you can do to lessen that in inverted poses. And she was like, these are some tools and tricks you can do in inverted poses. And there's a like slew of different new kind of tools like that a yoga teacher can give you to make the inverted poses actually easier to do, like little mechanical toys even that you can do to make the inverted poses easier. And it's great, actually. But any good yoga teacher will show you how to do an inverted pose in a way that, like, if you have a problem doing them, that you should be able to do them. So, yeah.
Maybe I'll go back. Maybe I'll go back to that yoga studio.
Because yoga, I mean, really, I went to physical therapy, and I started telling the yoga teacher, I mean, the physical therapist that I did yoga, and she was like, that is the best thing for MS patients who have MS to do is yoga. So,
yeah.
Because of the stretching and that exercise as well.
Yeah. And it's another non-traditional therapy that I did was I was a student at a therapeutic horse riding facility for 4 years, and I loved it. I mean, I developed such a passion for horses that now I own three of my own. And riding strengthened my core muscles and restored my confidence in my ability to try new things. It allowed me to develop a can-do attitude.
That's amazing. And I'm a big fan of the school that you worked at before you became an owner of your own horses. So, but I'd love to meet your horses one day.
But I have the little guy. I have miniature horses.
I know.
Adopted a friend of mine, but I plan on getting at least one full-size horse, probably within the next year. You know, there's a horse rescue not too far from where I live here in Cave Creek. And I'm just waiting for the fall. I don't want to, I'm going to deal with it during the heat. It's just too hot to, you know, take it more responsibility during the summer. I'll do it in the fall once the temperatures cool off.
Now, with your miniature horses, can you ride them?
Oh, no. No. No,
I didn't think so. They're so cute, though. Oh, my goodness.
They're sweet. They really are sweet. Yeah. They go up and I cup their faces, and they give me kisses. Yeah, they are sweet.
They're like the baby deer I got yesterday.
Yeah. Saw that picture? Yes, you look so cute.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and, you know, another fact of meditation is it protects your brain from the detriment of stress and helps you feel more connected to living in the present. And thus, it allows you to appreciate life more. It also improves functioning of your brain and helps you to get a good night's sleep.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Regular practice
and
meditation.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just think it's funny because I posted guided meditations in one of my groups, and one of the gentlemen in one of my groups said that he listened to them at night before he went to sleep because they actually put him to sleep. Okay, go on.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say is it the regular practice of meditation, it decreases anxiety. It improves emotional stability. Your sense of creativity increases, and you just develop an overall sense of being happy. Meditation also sharpens the mind by increasing focus and expands through relaxation. The balance of a sharp mind and an expanded consciousness brings peace and perfection. I just wanted to
very
get some fun stuff and remembered them.
Yeah, very true. Do you keep a symptom log or a journal as far as your symptoms go? Or anything in general, do you journal? How about a trigger or a stressor journal?
Oh, definitely. Yes, that's very important, and it's an excellent question, Lisa. Yes, it's very important to write down any symptoms, even if you think, oh, is that really, you know, is that really important, or is that really a new symptom, or is it just a, like a phantom symptom?
Yeah.
But write anything, and let your doctor
decide
what's really important, and what's nothing. That's why your doctor went to medical school, so. He'll be able to tell you if it's something you'd be concerned about and what's the best treatment plan for it. I have a new symptom, I bring it into my doctor and I discuss it with my neurologist. And I'm always debating with I have a new neurologist now, but my former neurologist, I was a patient of his for 16 years. He was a great guy. He retired. But I used to debate over the treatments with him, and he would laugh, and he would smile at me and say, "Bernadette, you read too much." I'm like, I can handle that.
That's great.
You read too much. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that.
Self-esteem is an inside job, but how others see you is external, but you get to choose your own self-image. How has MS changed your self-esteem?
Actually, this illness has improved my self-esteem. I mean, I realize my memory is not as sharp as it used to be. But there's no point in getting upset about it. It is what it is. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't do too bad with my memory. I haven't forgotten anything important. And, I make a lot of lists. I'm a big advocate of making a lot of lists and trying, you know, being as organized as I possibly can be. And I challenge myself to try new activities because that helps to kind of expand your mind.
Very much so.
Yeah. I'm always trying to visit new places. My husband and I, he surprised me last night and he said, well, how about, you know, we try Sacramento and there, from there we can go to Lake Tahoe. I'm like, okay, I'm game.
Yeah, both beautiful places.
Yeah, and I haven't been to other places, so I was totally down for going.
Yeah, it's great to go to places you've never been.
Mm-hmm.
Always an adventure. So,
yeah.
When you feel insecure, what do you tell yourself? Or if you ever feel insecure.
Oh, sure. Especially, you know, when I was younger and newly diagnosed. Oh, yeah, I used to feel insecure. Well, I tried not to let it get the best of me, and I reminded myself, life is short. I should make the most of it. I'm only going to go around once. And the people who care about me will understand that I'm doing the best I can. And the people who aren't really my true friends, well, you know, they don't matter.
Yeah. So what would you say are your talents and gifts?
Well, I love to cook, and I also love to read. I enjoy working with children. That's why I'm a substitute teacher, and I like the flexibility of being a substitute teacher. And I also enjoy caring for animals. So with our menagerie here, that you know, I've got basically the best of everything right here.
We sound like kindred spirits. Yeah.
And, you know, and what I find in life is, getting back to you, what do you tell yourself when you feel insecure? Don't dwell on, you know, what didn't go right in your life or on the negativity, because everything has a way of working itself out.
Yeah. That's very true. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it really does work itself out. You just have to be patient. Sometimes it takes years, but it does work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's even the sweeter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that you're asking questions, that you're the interviewer, but what do you enjoy doing?
I'm the same. That's why I was saying we're kindred. I love reading. I love writing. I love being with my friends. I'm very social. That's what I mean by that. I love being with animals. I love traveling. I love being around books. I don't even just love books. I love being around books. Art and gems. I love like going to like crystal stores or like showcases and stuff like that. I love spirituality stuff. I love I love children. I love children. Mm-hmm. And I worked for a long time as a teacher and every kind of child, everything, for like 15, almost 20 years. I worked as an actress and now a radio show host. And I write every day, basically.
Good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I try to write a little bit each day. Some days are better than others. But, you know, even if it's just a paragraph a day, it's something. Because it gets you, you know, it gets your thought process moving and the whole creative process going.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, have you discovered new talents and gifts since your diagnosis? I'm guessing that one of them was with writing, or maybe that's been all your life, huh? So was it have you discovered new talents and gifts since your diagnosis?
Well, yes. I guess it would be considered a gift would be that, you know, I realized just how much I enjoyed being around animals. Yeah, I mean, I love working with children, and I'll do that until I decide not to work anymore until I'm very old. But if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have became a veterinarian, specializing in equine health.
I could never be a veterinarian because I couldn't deal with animals in pain, I don't think. I mean, dealing with children in abusive situations was hard enough for me, but I couldn't deal with animals in pain. Both would are difficult, but like dealing with animals in extreme pain would be too much for me, I think, because I didn't have to deal with children in that kind of extreme pain. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I had to take my work home with me when I was working with kids all the time, and taking the animals home with me in that kind of situation would be too much for me.
You just can't leave the situation at work, you know, and then go home to your family life and just don't think about it anymore. Sometimes it's hard to shut it off.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that, like, after petting the deer the other day, I was like thinking about it all day. I mean, because literally, if that deer was a block away from me, like it is right now, but if we were in Ohio and the deer lived across the street from me, I probably would have taken it home. So yeah. I'm just too, I have too big of a heart, because they, like the deer here, like they call it the neighborhood deer. And that deer is basically like a puppy of the neighborhood. And, you know, I would just want to take that deer home. Yeah.
That's funny.
And make sure it's taken care of. It has water and it's warm during the winter. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, my new talents. Well, this is, I don't know really know if you consider it a talent or a gift, but I mean, I love to meet new people, and I love to make them laugh and see them smile. I mean, it just warms my heart to put a smile on someone's face.
No, being that social and being that empathetic definitely is.
I love making people happy. I enjoy teaching at the high school level, because I like the challenge it presents.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you do, like, jigsaw puzzles or play games?
I tried playing the brain games. That's harder than I thought it would be. So, yes, I'm trying to stretch my brain with those. And I do like jigsaw puzzles. It is definitely a brain teaser since having been diagnosed. And seriously, I've lost. I definitely, like, I've forgotten how to play cards. I definitely have lost a lot of my cognitive ability, but I am enjoying getting a lot of it back. Do you experience cognitive challenges?
Oh, every day. Who doesn't?
Yeah. I don't know. Some people, it seems like they have no cognitive, no fatigue, but, I mean, you know, I'm not one to judge.
Well, some people don't want to admit that they're having cognitive issues. Some people have pride, you know, they're very proud and they don't want to admit that they've forgotten. The best thing is just acknowledge it. Even if we didn't have MS, as we age, we develop cognitive issues. You know, my friends who don't have MS say, heck, you know, you remember more than I do sometimes. I forget things, and I've learned to laugh at myself a little bit. I mean, I haven't forgotten anything important, but you know, got little things, and just don't beat yourself up over it. I mean, it's gonna happen. And just do the best you can.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I make lists before I go to the store of the things I need. And I also make a to-do list of things I wish to get done that day. And I'm okay if I don't get everything done on the list, depending on how I'm feeling. Some days I may be able to get everything done plus some. In other days, I'll maybe only get, you know, half the list done. And I've learned to just accept that that's all I can do that on the days that I'm not as productive as other days. It's just part of the illness.
Yeah.
And I know I need to get, like, a good 8 hours sleep.
Very true.
You know, if you don't get a good night's sleep, whether you have MS or not, you know, you're just going to be tired the next day and not be able to function very well. the one thing I'll tell you as you get older is you make more trips to the restroom, but there's nothing I can do about that either. So maybe get an extra, you know, a little extra sleep to make up for the visits to the restroom during the night. When I meet, like, a large group of new people for the first time, I would have a hard time remembering all the names right away. I'm talking about, like, maybe, say, a dozen new people. I'll probably get half their names right. But you know what? Each time we get together, I'll remember more and more of their names. You know, so eventually, then you just automatically know everyone.
That's a good way to think about it, because I have trouble with that too, and it's tough because I remember everyone's faces, but names can be tricky.
Yeah,
and it's hard because, like, when it's through social media, you see a name and a face. So, like, I can always get it on social media, like, really easily. But in person, it all goes by so quickly. And it would be like, why can't everyone wear name tags everywhere around?
Yeah.
So do you believe in the benefits of working out, Bernadette?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, exercise is very important.
Yeah, you talked about horseback riding, you talked about yoga, you talked about walking.
I hike.
Yeah.
I hike. I hike with some friends of mine. When we exercise, we use all of our muscles, including our brains, especially like at where I live, we don't have paved roads. I mean, I have to pay attention to every footstep I take so I don't trip over something or fall down, lose my balance and fall down, which is it's good and bad, because if I don't pay attention, I could lose my balance and fall. But overall, it's good. I've never had an issue with it. And so we use every muscle in our body when we exercise. And, it improves cardiovascular, and it improves our cognitive abilities, and it releases the good endorphins, the good hormones.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Do you have any favorite kind of like hiking shoe, or do you wear any kind of special insoles or anything like that?
Oh, no, just Nike sneakers.
Yeah, good for you. I just asked because, like, Chris has really bad plantar fasciitis. I have it bad in one foot. But, a lot of people with MS or other difficulties have problems with their feet, and hiking and walking even gets to be difficult sometimes. So, you know, we all want to hear from everyone about these little tips and tricks.
I use a camel, which
they're great, yeah.
And always have my sunglasses on, sunscreen.
Yeah.
In addition to water bottles, because you can never have enough water. It's always better to come home with water than not have enough. You don't want to run out when you're on the peak.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. We were out in Zion today, and we had this incredibly expensive water bottle with us. And of course, we both have MS, and so, but I think it was either Chris or I. We couldn't remember which one of us it was, but I needed my shoe tied, and one of us left it behind. But thankfully, there were little water fountains everywhere, so we were fine.
Oh, that's
yeah. Yeah. Did you change your diet at all based on anything you've read or thought about?
Yes. I started eating more fruits and vegetables and lean protein. It's basically the Mediterranean diet. And I feel much better. And between moving around more and eating healthier, I feel better.
That's great.
Fantastic. And when you're eating fruit, choose the fruit that are high in antioxidants, like berries, strawberries, blueberries,
yeah.
Raspberries. Yeah.
So now this is the wonderful thing. Tell me about your book.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to write a book to give people a sense of hope and encouragement about living with MS, and not to get depressed or too worrisome over it. I mean, my book is basically a self-help guide. And in it, I explain how to live well with MS, or not just MS, but any chronic illness.
So tell me about writing your book. Why did you feel it important to write your book?
I wanted to instill a feeling of hope. And to give people a sense of motivation to go forward and to look for, you know, all the happiness that they can grab out of life. And basically always look through the rainbow. I mean, there's always somebody out there that has it worse than you.
That's true.
You know, and you should always keep a positive attitude.
Yeah,
you should always keep a positive attitude, because that's half the battle. It's just keeping a positive attitude about it.
How can we purchase your book?
Well, if you log on to Amazon and type in the name of my book, it should come up.
And what's the name of your book, Bernadette?
It's Persist, Live Your Dreams.
And what did you learn while writing your book?
Well, I did a lot of research while I was writing my book. So I learned that, like, for instance, singing and dancing and playing games, learning a new language, traveling, you know, all these things that you can do, it's very important to challenge yourself. But when I say that, I mean, you got to do it sensibly and safely. Never put yourself in a situation that could endanger yourself. But you got to come up with a plan. If there's something you want to do, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Just come up with a good plan so that you're always in a safe position.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what might the reader learn, do you think?
Well, the reader will learn how to live well with a chronic illness. And everyone will wake up with aches and pains at times. You know, you can maybe take some medication for it. But by eating a healthy diet and having a positive attitude and by keep moving forward, you know, you'll succeed in whatever it is you want to do. And also you'll be happy.
Well, I think that is excellent. And, you know, I'm really, really interested about reading your book because it sounds like it's chock full of positivity. It sounds like it has excellent, excellent things to teach us. And you are such an inspirational, wonderful person, Bernadette. Like, I'm just really glad to have you as a friend and to know you personally. I'm so happy to have you on the show tonight and to have gotten to know you and to have been able to talk to you. And thank you so much for being on Mess with MS tonight. And I hope everyone looks up your book and looks it up and hopefully buys it on Amazon. And that would be